Irvine, Washington, Monday, December 1st, 2008. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, she saw it coming. Karnasmal Bodman was senior director of the Reagan National Security Council, and a few years ago predicted that the group responsible for the carnage in India would do something so horrific. Also in this edition, the impact. We'll talk with David Gardenstein Ross, vice president for research at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, about why the terrorist strategy was so effective. We'll talk with Christina Bellantoni, White House correspondent for The Washington Times, as Barack Obama names his national security team for the next 4 years. And will anyone be guarding the borders? One of those new Obama selections is Arizona Governor Janet Napolitano for Secretary of Homeland Security. We'll talk with Al Garza of the Minuteman Civil Defense Corps about how well Napolitano's done in protecting our borders during her time as governor. All that, plus the day's top stories, follows our discussion with Karnasmal Bodman about the attacks in India, and that begins right now. My first guest in this edition is Karnasmal Bodman, former senior director of the National Security Council during the Reagan administration. She's also the author of recent political thrillers such as Checkmate and Gambit. Checkmate, which was released in 2007, actually previewed in considerable detail the terrorist attacks that unfortunately played out in India over the past several days. Karna joins me now to discuss the research she did, which led her to believe something like this could happen, and what the lessons are to learn from it, as well as prepare for possible future attacks. And Karna, it's always good to have you with us.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks for having me on today.
We're learning more and more about this group, and I'll let you pronounce it because you're the expert on this. Tell us who they are and why you believed even a number of years ago that they were capable of perpetrating something like
well,
this.
Well, yes, Lashkar-e-Taiba. I suppose you can pronounce it different ways depending on what language you're speaking. They even have a website in Urdu or in English. But this is a group. When I was researching my first novel, political thriller, Checkmate, several years ago, I was fascinated with the whole situation in India and Pakistan over the disputed area of Kashmir, which a lot of people don't know a whole lot about. But India and Pakistan have fought three wars, two of them over Kashmir. And this has been a smoldering situation for many years over there. And this Lashkar group is mainly concerned with Kashmir, which two-thirds is controlled by India. So I put the story together, developing characters that I imagined would be in this terrorist group, and how they plan. Their plan is to attack India, but have India believe that the attack came from Pakistan, because they do have allies in Pakistan's intelligence service, which is called ISI. This is all true today. And in the story of Checkmate, they stage an attack on Indian forces, and of course, India does think Pakistan is behind it. Our people intervene, and because we're trying to keep two nuclear-powered countries apart, you know, try to avoid warfare. But this group is very, very militant and very, very violent. In fact, they were since I did all the research, they were implicated in the 2005 attacks on the London Underground. We remember when those happened. And they also were implicated in train bombings in Mumbai in 2006. Mumbai, of course, the old Bombay, as we used to call that city. So this is a very, very tough group. In fact, now that I think about it, they were also implicated in the 2001 assault on India's parliament. That goes way back a bit. But that almost brought India and Pakistan to the brink of war. So this is a very, very militant group, and it isn't that they're, you know, concerned with what we think Al-Qaeda and some of the other Islamic groups are concerned with in terms of Palestine and, you know, other issues like that. But they definitely are fomenting trouble and terrorist activities, and something that our country needs to watch very, very carefully.
It's just how much precision and planning is needed to carry out what they carried out, Karna?
Well, it would appear from all the reports that they had tremendous planning. It was with military precision that they landed by these little boats and then fanned out throughout the city and carried on all of these attacks, killing all of these people with a relatively small group. And one thing that it just is incredible when you think about it, here they were able to fan out through the city and hit these hotels and synagogue and other places mowing down people, and yet no one could fight back. Now, when you think about it, in India, they have more of a, I guess what you might want to call a pacifist culture. Hardly anybody carries guns over there. In fact, most of the police on the streets, they don't carry guns. They have bamboo sticks. they don't have guns. And in fact, the hotel had metal detectors, but none of the security personnel carry weapons because they have a very hard time getting permits from the government. So I think this is a pretty good argument for personal possession of handguns, because if anybody had had them, they could have stopped some of the horrible killing that went on.
So, Karna, you obviously saw the handwriting on the wall that this could be coming a number of years ago.
Oh, yes.
What do you suspect this group may also be capable of down the road?
Well, it's a little bit hard to say, but they obviously have links to other groups and have reportedly been trained in Pakistan in some of those more militant areas that we're hearing more and more about up there along the border. It's hard to say how closely linked they are to Al-Qaeda or some of the others, but they definitely want to cause more havoc over there in that part of the world, and who knows when some of those attacks could involve more of our allies, perhaps, Israel, perhaps the United States down the road. But I think the bottom line here is, of course, number one, we have to work very closely with the government of Pakistan to try to root out these militant groups. And the other thing we've got to remember is that if Pakistan goes into any kind of more domestic turmoil, and there were any other change of government, remember, what those groups really want is control of Pakistan's nuclear arsenal. That's their bottom line. They want the Islamic bomb, and Pakistan's got it. So this is a scary scenario. We have to work very hard with Pakistan and also India, first to keep them apart, not retaliate against each other in any way, and also to root out these groups.
A few minutes left in our conversation with Karna Small Bodman, who served as senior director of the National Security Council during the Reagan administration. And Karna, drawing from that NSC experience, what do you suspect is going on not only on the current National Security Council, but also with the transition team of President-elect Obama? How should they be looking at this and the ongoing threat that they face there?
Well, my understanding is that the two teams are actually working close together. The Bush administration has worked very hard to prepare briefing books for the Obama new team, books on every conceivable area of the country, what the threats are, what the contingency plans are. We always have contingency plans on the shelf for as many crises as one could dream up, almost. And they are working closely together, as they should, of course. Some people say that when a new NSC advisor or a new team comes into office and they get their first briefing, it can make your hair stand on end. So I'm sure that they're going through all of that right now and working closely together. Condoleezza Rice is going to be heading over to that area, and I'm sure she'll be coordinating closely with Hillary Clinton and others. And I noted that President-elect Obama made some tough comments this morning in his news conference about these groups and rooting out terrorism, and of course he's right. So we would all hope that we would stand together on this issue.
It sounds from what you've explained earlier, Karna, that political developments in the U.S. may not have been a huge factor in the timing or the method or anything else related to this terrorist attack, but do terrorists sense vulnerability at a time when the American government is in transition?
Oh, sure. There have been other attacks over the years when things have been in transition, but I don't see this one as being aimed at our transition at all. It looks like something that's been long planned. It would have to be planned. They would have had to have money, boats, weapons, equipment, training, all of that would have taken a long time. And it isn't. It also isn't the sort of thing where they would expect that we would be, directly involved. This is really against India.
And in terms of going after this group, rooting out the groups, as the terminology goes these days, is this a group that's somewhat easily targetable, or is it like Al-Qaeda, they can just kind of disappear into the wilderness and it's almost impossible to track them down sometimes?
Well, no, my understanding is this group operates out in the open. Now, our government did label them a terrorist organization some years ago, and, in fact, sometime after 9/11, and the Pakistan government even labeled them as they banned the group, supposedly, but many of their activities are out in the open because they say that they are doing charitable and educational work, you see. In fact, at one point, they even changed their name in a way. I mean, everybody still calls them Lashkar-e-Taiba, and that's what the one terrorist that they captured in India called them and said, yes, I have links to this group. They try to change their name, but everybody knows who they are, and they are operating with these charities and so forth. Oh, we're just a charitable educational organization, but I think the officials know better. They know where they are, and I think Pakistan has got to go after them.
Is this a potentially event where it looks like now that the two governments are going head to head that that could end up being an area of cooperation and collaboration?
Well, when, one would hope so. It's very dicey because it would appear that ISI, the Pakistan intelligence organization, does have ties to these. Of course, they will deny it, but does have ties to these groups. And here's the other problem: civilians control the Pakistan government, but the military controls the nuclear weapons. The military has ties to ISI, so kind of look at that puzzle and figure out the best way to handle things. Now, in the past, we've always thought, well, the military controlling the nuclear weapons, that's okay because the civilian government turns over from time to time. And as we've seen, people get assassinated, all that sort of thing. The military has been fairly stable, and we need stability controlling those weapons.
Karna, unfortunately, that'll have to be the last word. As always, great to have you with us.
Terrific to be with you. Thank you so much.
Karna Small-Bodman, former senior director of the National Security Council in the Reagan administration. She's also the author of the recent political thrillers Checkmate and Gambit. Checkmate now available in paperback. This is Dateline Washington.